You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tonight, please. 1 Corinthians 2 Orchestra, we could not make it without you. My goodness, back here a big army of young people and older folks as well, and all these trumpeters down here. Brother and Mrs. Moore, we are so glad you're here. You have a wonderful son and daughter-in-law. We're going to miss them. They're going to graduate. Brother Moore came to us from Oklahoma. He already has a bachelor in fire protection, a four-year degree. And he's worked here all this 4 years in Oklahoma going to college. Thank you for all that you've done for him. But God's hands on Brother Moore's life, his dear wife. He's already had a church call him. They want him to be the pastor. And he's just not sure that's the right one. But you pray that God would give them wisdom. They're going to be a great, great couple. And I want to miss you just terribly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's stand together. It's been about 45 minutes, and I won't be long tonight, but I'm looking forward to our time together. Wednesday night, I'm going to tell you about our seven-week series. I've had these fellas preaching all summer. They have done such. I've had more people say, keep those fellas preaching. They're doing a great job. They are. They've done a great job, but we'll begin a seven-week series on August the 27th. So this Wednesday will be our last preacher, and looking forward to it, and then looking forward to seeing what God's going to do this fall. Just plan on this fall. Let's get to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. I'm speaking to the choir. What a great crowd here tonight. Let's read together 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. Ready? Begin.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are
I thank you for this week. I thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. I thank you for the enthusiasm of your people singing. Really, the choir number was such a blessing. And thank you that through it all, we can trust you. Thank you for all the special music. It's so beautiful. Thank you for the announcements tonight. Thank you for the offering. God, as I preach your word to your people, may it fall on soft ground. I pray for the backslider here tonight. They're here. I pray that they would be restored to fellowship. I pray for the godly Christian, they'd grow. I pray for the unsaved, that they'd come to know Christ as their Savior. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I have a question for you tonight. And it's what I'm preaching on this evening. The question is very simple. Who are you? Who are you anyway? You know, there are some people in life I've met that are just chronic liars. I think of a man I pastored many years ago. He was a good man, but he just lied about everything. He just lied. He was just a liar. He could not, his wife caught him repeatedly, had the evidence of his sin, but he lied his way through it, and then he got caught on that, and we said, well, this was how, and he lied out of that. He just lied. They finally divorced. He was such a handsome boy, and she was such a beautiful girl, but they just divorced. She couldn't take it. He just lied nonstop. I've pastored people that are full of jealousy, and they're mean. Sometimes they do it spiritually, you know, and sometimes they do it just antagonistic. Sometimes they take the internet and just blast people. I don't understand that. I'm so glad I don't know how to use that internet. I don't know how people can blast one another. I've pastored good people. I mean solid people, people that love the Lord, love the Word of God. Who are you? Who in the world are you? This passage gives us some different types of individuals. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, and the natural man, there's the first one. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And he comes to church and it's all dead. The music's dead. And it could be the best music, and I don't like music here. But the music doesn't move them. The preaching doesn't move them. Maybe once in a while the preacher will give an illustration and that moves them. But nothing moves him in life. He's just dead because he's lost. The Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, because he cannot know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There's a natural man. The Bible says that many in that day, many in that day, in that last day, many will come and say to him, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out demons in thy name? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. I was pondering this again in my study this afternoon, just thinking about how there are many people in churches lost. But I'd have to say in our church, it's such a good church. I think the vast majority are saved. I think the vast majority, but I heard an evangelist say years ago. In fact, I heard evangelist Billy Graham, who covered the nation. He said as many as 65 to 70% of church members are not saved. Early in his ministry, he said that. About 65 to 75% are not saved. I'm an evangelist. He's still in the ministry today, 50 years ago. He said to me, Brother Jack, he said, I would imagine there's at least 70% of Christians that are not Christians. They're not even saved. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. It's possible to backslide. It's possible do drugs again. It's possible to drink. It's possible to go to the shows. It's possible to go to the dance. It's possible to lay out of church. It's possible to stop tithing. All that's a possibility. But the natural man, it's just the natural thing. The natural man doesn't want to tithe. The natural man does not want to pray for worldwide missions. The natural man does not want to give to projects. The natural man does not want to visit on a bus ride. The natural man, it's all dead because there's no Spirit of God in his life. That's what the Bible says. And many in that day, many, don't be part of that crowd. Don't be part of that crowd that the last day when the trump says, you're left behind. Can you imagine? Can you imagine coming to this building? Because there'll be 7 years, things will go on in Santa Clara, California, like usual. I don't think, Brother Fanero, there's going to be a huge exodus. 150,000 people in our city. To my knowledge, and they may be watching, so I'm watching what I'm saying. I don't see any evidence of salvation from one person down at City Hall. Not the mayor, not the city council, none of them. Most people are going to be left. They're going to say, what happened to that church? They'd really dwindled in size. It used to be packed on Sunday morning, but now Sunday morning, they're not even open Sunday night. There's only 100 people coming to that church because there will be church. That's why we put in these bricks out here, the Romans Road to Salvation, so people would come maybe in the tribulation and read how to be saved, how to be born again, how to have their faith and trust in God. But many will say, we've done these things for thee. And they'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? They're natural. They're not saved. Many that day, I think of how perhaps even in our church I have some unsaved members tonight. Up on the balconies, on the lower floor, people that are listening, the sound of my voice, and they're lost. They've never been born again. They say, well, I've been baptized. Well, baptism doesn't save you. I'll enter the baptism waters tonight, but baptism doesn't save you. But I gave money to the church, but giving money does that. Philanthropy can do that. Many people can give, but friend, are you saved? Do you know that you know that you know that you know? Can you give me a Bible answer? I know that I'm born again. Was there a change in your life? Did the Spirit of God move in? Because once you get saved, the Spirit of God, Ms. Treber and I, we talk after every service. We take roll, who's missing. And she said to me today, we were going through the roll of people on vacation, or roll the people are missing, or this and that. And she said, I won't say if it's male or female, but she said, I don't know if that person even has salvation. I just don't sense that they're saved. What an awful thing if you're lost. Please don't leave out tonight lost. I'm not trying to talk you into losing your salvation. If you got saved, you're saved. But I tell you what, I tell you all the time, that glorious night, 69 years ago this fall, I was standing next to my dad, and then my father, and then my mother, and my two sisters. We were back in our little church house. It was just this big. Lanterns were glowing. We didn't have electricity. 1956. I don't know what the preacher preached, but they sang an invitation song. They sang, and I didn't go out. I knew I should go forward. I was just afraid. In the second or third stanza, I remember doing this. And when I did that, Brother Sly, I don't know about instantaneous salvation right then, but I think I got it right there. Because I walked forward and I said, Pastor Smith, I want to get saved. And he called Viva Morningstar. Viva, come and lead Jack to Christ. And she led me to Christ that day. I was telling our staff, or telling our family, or told someone this week about my salvation. And I said, I remember that. I was with my mother, and I said, Mom, you remember that day, don't you? She said, you know, Jack, I don't remember when you got saved. My own mother? But I knew my dad knew, because as soon as I walked out the back door, there's one door. I walked out there and opened the door, and he was there. And I said, Dad, I got saved tonight. And so I said, Dad, do you remember my salvation night? He goes, I don't remember, Jack. My mother said, call Pastor and Mrs. Smith. They'll know. They have records on they never missed a record. And so I called Mrs. Smith. Marion Smith, I said, Sister Smith, I said, I need to know when I was saved. No one wrote the date down. She called me back a few weeks later, Jack, there's no record that you got saved. Brother Everson, I'm dying right now. I mean, my mom doesn't know, my dad doesn't know. I knew I was saved. And now I'm wondering, did I really get saved, or was I dreaming? I was preaching and where did I tell this? In Sunday school this morning? I told us. I was preaching in Long Beach. My brother-in-law, Dave Smith, pastored there for years. And my sister was in the back seat. He was driving. I was in the passenger seat. And Jill said, Jack, remember that night you got saved? I said, tell me about it. And she said, well, I wanted to get saved at church, but Mother won't let me. She said, you just want to go forward because Jack went forward. And she said, I went home and I went to their room and I pled with them. And she said, the night you got saved is the night I got saved at home. Amen. And my sister's not even normal. She's listening right now. She's normal. But thank God I'm saved. Amen. You know, I'm so ashamed of my Christian life. I'm ashamed. I think of the Bema Seat judgment. And I say it, I was preaching in Sacramento this week and saying, I can hear the Bema Seat judgment when we're going to be judged not for our sins, but for our works. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I come up those stairs, the Bema Seat judgment. And they say, Jack Treber! Got 7 years to take care of all these. And I can hear Ashlyn, our firstborn granddaughter, she gets married this week. I can hear her, shh, kid, it's going to be good. Papa's coming. Papa's preached in the same church 50 years. Papa, oh. And I've often wondered how much I've done in the flesh. I wonder if I'll have anything. God says twice in the book of Revelation, He's going to wipe away our tears. I believe that there's going to be weeping at that marriage supper. I believe there's going to be weeping at that Bema Seat judgment. Things I could have done with a pure heart. And I didn't do it with a pure heart. The natural man, are you natural tonight? Natural means you're unsaved. Are you saved? We sing with the elementary kids, if you're saved and you know it, say amen. Amen! Are you saved? There's a second man I want you to see tonight. The Bible says in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, there's the spiritual man. There's a spiritual man. There's a natural man, and then there's the spiritual man. And I'm telling you, on this Sunday night in the summer of 2025, I'm speaking to mostly all saved people. Saved, perfect, no. Without sin, no. Failed, yes. But I'm speaking to good people that love God. People that want to obey God. People that come to God's house, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you're here. And God's word says that's a spiritual man. A spiritual man is one that loves church. Not trying to get out of church all the time. I love church. Hang a sign out front, say, Monday night church, I'll be there. Tuesday night church, I'll be there. Wednesday night church, most of the weeks of my life, I've been at Sunday night church, Monday night church, Tuesday night church, Wednesday night church. I've been at church all the time. I love going to church. I love singing these great hymns. Brother Emery did such a good job today. And I thank God for the good singing and the good choir. Oh, that choir is great. Doesn't the choir make you want to say amen? It makes me want to say amen. Doesn't those trumpets down there playing and all these instruments playing and the pianos playing, both of them, doesn't want you to say amen, amen, amen? Yes, it does. The pastor says it's time for the offering. I tell you, I want to say amen. The Bible says the Lord loveth joy. Sister Joy, you'll remember this. Your husband who's with the Lord, Brother Flint. I was preaching about the Lord loveth the cheerful giver. And I said, that's one who's happy, acts like a clown at the circus, is what it means. A joyful giver is one that is just, I said, you folks at the back of the auditorium, you ought to be waiting for that offering plate to come. Say, it's coming, it's coming. Praise the Lord, it's coming. Ushers, come forward. They came forward. I said, it's the offering time. We had prayer. And Brother Flint, he slipped it. He was in the back, your husband. And he said, woo-hoo-hoo, woo-hoo-hoo. You remember him. He's crazy. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Yes, it's coming. The offering plate's coming. Everybody said amen. But don't you get excited about giving? I'm so excited about this project being done because I have another one right on the burner ready to present to you. Yeah, we're going to just keep going, friends. That God's going to pay for that. God's taking care of it, and it's going to be all finished in just about 2-3 weeks. We'll be done 100%. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be breathtaking. I told Brother Moyer, maybe next year's bulletin, go across the street where there was a firehouse. They tore it down. Go across the street, and at night when all the lights are on this building out front, that building, 240 feet, all this, 175 feet, all of it together, all the lights on. Get a picture at night. It's going to be beautiful. I love tithing. Amen. My wife and I learned to give to missions almost 53 years ago. We have never, ever missed a Sunday in 53 years of tithing and giving to missions. Never. We've never missed. We have given every single week to missions. We have given every single week to the bus ministry. We've given every single week since 1970, 78 to the Gideon's account. We've given every single week to the general fund. I love giving. And Brother Sly and the deacons, they count the offering. They'd have to know that our pastor's a good giver. Our pastor's wife's a good giver. Why? Because I'm spiritual. That's why you're good givers. You're spiritual. I want to come to church. I want to tithe. I want to give the gospel. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. I want to walk with God. I want to have fellowship with Him. Why? Because I'm spiritual. There's a spiritual part of me that's been changed. The old man's not the same. The old natural man is dead, and I'm alive through Jesus Christ. What kind of man are you? Are you natural? Are you spiritual? Lastly, don't get your shoes on, ladies, because it's going to take me a while. Lastly, verse 1 of chapter 3. And I, what's that next word? Brethren. He's talking to Christians. I, brethren, could not speak unto you spiritual. You're not spiritual. But as unto what? Unto carnal. Even as babes in Christ. Verse 3. For ye are yet, what's the word? For whereas there's among you envy, strife, division, are ye not, what's the word? Well, some, while another saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not, what's the word? Carnal is just someone who is fleshly. They feed their flesh. They don't feed their spirit. They feed their flesh. They listen to their body. My body wants to do this, so I do it. And then when we do that, we blame the church. Oh, that church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. Well, stay. We need another one. We need you. Do you know, child of God, you could be natural man, or you could be a spiritual man, or you could be carnal. I love these teenagers. Oh, my wife and I just had one night at camp. It just refreshed my spirit to be around your kids. You parents have good kids. But you know what these kids are going to fight all the way up through high school, junior high and high school? Their carnal flesh. They're going to fight it. Once again, I face Satan this morning. And I battled him all the day long. But in my weakness, God sent reinforcements. I am so, so weak. I have a lot of rules in my life. If you think this church has rules, this church has hardly any rules. But I have rules that go way beyond what this church does. I would think any good Christian would have a lot of rules in your life. You've heard me say this so many times through the years. I was preaching for my dear friend Wally Davis back in Connecticut. This had to have happened 40, Heather, Amy, you'll have to tell me 40 some years ago. 45, I'm going to guess. Would that be true? Not quite. And I turned the television on in the hotel room, and I went to brush my teeth and come back, and there was some filth on. Some pornography on, and it just frightened me to death. It just frightened me. I shut it off immediately. God gave me the courage to shut it off, and I'm so thankful. I didn't have cell phones. I called my wife on the house phone. I said, Cindy, this just happened. I didn't try to let it happen. It just happened. But I'm going to pledge to you right now today. I don't care if the World Series is being played, the NBA Finals are being played, Sweet 16 is being played. I don't care what it is, I will never, ever, ever again watch a TV alone. I won't do it. I won't do it in my home. I won't do it everywhere, anywhere. Now, that's not a rule of this church, but that's a rule for my life. I'll tell you why it's a rule for my life, Brother Van Dyke. It's going to hurt you to hear this, because I'm so weak. Put no confidence in the flesh. I'm so weak that I might be tempted to watch it. And in watching that, I disqualify myself from being your pastor. You're going to have to make some rules. I made a rule in my life about, I'm going to say 6 or 8 or 9 months ago, maybe a year ago, Brother Fanero was preaching. I get up early in the morning and I read my Bible and I pray and I get my phone and see who's left me messages. And he said, I don't touch my phone to open up till after 7 a.m. I think he said 7. I said, that's my new rule. I don't need my phone first thing in the morning. I don't need to see who's calling me first thing in the morning. That'll be there at 7 o'clock. I had to make that rule because I needed to walk with God and pray and spend time with God. Come on. What rules do you have in your life? I told my wife this week, I told Brother Moyer, first of all, then I told my wife, I don't have Facebook, I don't have all these things to get online for everything. People send me videos, I can't get them because my phone doesn't work that way. But I can see the sports and the scores of sports and things of that nature. But I got a text this week, I think it was from Avery. It was one of these spam calls, I think, you know. And Avery says to me, she said, I want to meet with you, Jack. She probably had to sell something or whatever. Give me a call. Then the next, she texts back, are you shunning me? I want to meet with you. Then the next, you stood me up. I was at the coffee shop waiting for you. You know, it sounds like my wife, I took that to Brother Moyer within the hour. I said, look at this. I took it to my wife. I know it's a spam, but I tell you what, that scares me to death. And it ought to scare you to death. If you can't control, if you can't control your phone, get rid of your phone. Get a little flip phone that you can talk to your wife or whatever they call those little phones. But don't have all that stuff on. I don't see how these teenagers are going to ever make it down the aisle in white with a phone. With all the internet on there. I don't see how they're going to do it. I don't believe it's possible. I had the wedding of your sweet little daughter. Got a nice note from her in the mail yesterday. But I just had a wedding last week. And that little girl has been so, you've raised two good kids. Lester is a good, godly man. And that little Nikki, just a sweet thing. And her husband, jerk, he moved her out of here. But I still love him. Those kids were so pure, so clean, so right. That ought to be you, kids. You're going to have to make some decisions for God. And that's the carnal man. The carnal man, in closing, look at verse number 3. The carnal man, ye are yet carnal, for where is among you envy? Who are you envious of tonight? My wife and I were at camp. We saw Connor up there at camp. We said, now, we need a special group. And so Connor, get your guitars out, you and your brother. And the five guys, they're all moved away. So we got three guys now. And his first answer to me was, yes, we'll do that. I like that answer, yes. They weren't good, but they're you guys are great tonight. That's a new group. That's a good group. But I'm envious of their good voices. But not to the point where I'm sinning against myself. The Bible says when you have envy, you're carnal. Well, there's strife. Are you so argumentative with your wife or your husband or your family? Strife? You're carnal. Is there divisions? Are you not yet carnal? I've got a question for you. Who are you anyway?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.